Penguins and Sens, game number two of that series at the Consol Energy Center. We'll pick up the broadcast with the legendary Mike Lang at 5:30. I guess if you want to watch it, tune into Hockey Night. Here's a prediction. Elliot Friedman joins us from Hockey Night. Don Cherry working tonight? Is he doing the Coach's Corner thing?
Yes, I believe so.
Any chance you think he'll talk about the over-the-glass delay of game penalty from Mark-Edward Vlasic last night?
What's the line from Dumb and Dumber? So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah.
Yes, I think it's pretty likely he talks about that.
Because I know he was ranting about it during round number one, that it was a matter of time until that cost somebody the cup or a series, and there's no doubt about it. Was it a penalty? Well, it looks like it was, as in the rule book states, it was a penalty, and not to go off on it, but I think definitely that cost the Sharks the game last night. And could cost them the whole series.
It could. There's no question about that. The evidence is with you, Dean. It all comes back to, though, do you think there was a problem with guys doing it beforehand? Before it was a penalty, did you think it was a problem?
I didn't think it was a problem. I guess I could be swayed if there was evidence to suggest that guys were, was it happening once a game, once every five games? I honestly didn't feel like this was something that was plaguing playoff hockey, but I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention. Do you think it was?
Not as bad as it's turned out to be. No question about it. I don't remember, for as many penalties have been called, I certainly can't remember situations like that beforehand, and I know that at least one player agrees with you, and that's Alex Goligoski of the Dallas Stars, who, when Vlasic took that penalty last night, immediately tweeted out, stupid rule. But it's there, and you have to deal with it, and if you're the San Jose Sharks, as tough as it is, you've got to say, okay, it happened, we've got to put it past us and find it back.
We'll move on because we've talked a lot about, obviously, those two games, and we've touched on it. Tonight, it's the game two of the Pittsburgh-Ottawa series, and I don't know what you thought about game number one, but it felt like it was a bit of a free pass from the Ottawa Senators. From where I sit, it didn't have the feel or the makeup of a playoff game. I know late that things got a little bit silly, but Sidney Crosby got to sit for the last 5 or 6 minutes of that game. There was very little in the way of playoff intensity, and that has to change.
I completely agree with you, Dean. I think it's okay to lose a playoff game, but it's never okay to lose a playoff game and make it easy on the other team. Chris Letang, 28 minutes in the first round against the Islanders. I think he played 24 in game one. Paul Martin, 27 minutes in the first round. I think he played 23, as you mentioned. Crosby played 17. Malkin played under 16. You handed them the game. You gave it to them. At least make them pay for it. Make them say, oh, that hit I took that night, it's going to kill me later in the series. None of that happened. Ottawa was very easy to play against. It doesn't look like Greiba is going to play tonight, so one of their biggest hitters obviously won't be there. But I just think you've got to be a lot more competitive than you were in game number one. You gave the Penguins a gift, and they're good enough that they don't need those.
Do the Senators have... Do they have enough there? Do they have, within that locker room, do they have what it's going to take to push this to be a 6 or 7 game series like the Islanders did last round?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they have skill. I'm curious to see when or if Spets is going to pop up in this and how effective he can be. But, they do. I mean, they showed in the first round that they can be a tough team to play against, and their goalie's a hell of a goalie. But I just think, Alfred's had a weird game, too. Dean, he had some glorious chances, and he passed them up. He kind of was looking to be a setup man rather than a shooter, which was kind of weird. That whole team was off in game one. I expect you'll see a much different group tonight. Edgier. Chris Neal tried to start something up in the last shift of the game on Tuesday. That's useless. You've got to be a lot better from the beginning. I think they'll be a much different team tonight.
We have talked a lot about here in watching the Western series, and whether it's L.A. and whether it's Chicago, because it feels like that's the way it's going, and maybe San Jose changes things, and maybe we haven't heard the last of the Detroit Red Wings, but if it's Chicago and L.A., unless they beat each other up, is anyone in the East going to match up at all with either one of those two teams the way you see it?
I think Pittsburgh is obviously the one. I'd be shocked if the Rangers got there because I just don't think they can score enough to win three rounds. Boston to me is, Boston to me is an interesting one because I don't think they've been as good as they should be this year, Dean. And I really thought for the most part in round one, Toronto was better than they were. But whenever you have Chara and you have that one line, and there should be more than one line, but you have that one line, and Rask playing the way he is, you're in the series. I think Pittsburgh is the only team in the East that can win the Cup, but I think Boston could at least make it interesting. I just think, though, that Chicago and L.A. and probably San Jose to some degree are better than any of the teams in the East, no, and would be favorites in the Cup, no question about it.
He's Elliot Friedman, our guest here for Eastside Kia on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Twitter is a lot of things. It's great, except when it's the worst. But I saw somebody fire something out last night, and if nothing else, it's maybe a discussion point, and it's probably not one that many people will agree with, but his point was that after Jonathan Toews and Sidney Crosby, with what we've seen out of Patrice Bergeron, could he not be the best after those two, as far as Canadian-born centermen, guys that makes their guys around them better and comes through in the clutch? Is there anybody better than Patrice Bergeron? Now, there is a long list. There's Getzlaff, and John Tavares had a great playoff round, and Stamkos takes the draws and is a centerman and all of that. But, boy, there's something to it, I think, because Bergeron has been all money.
Well, I to be perfectly honest, Dean, I didn't think he was very good most of the first round. It was as bad as I've seen him play. And I think you're right about one thing. He's got a high bar. At the end of the series, obviously, he was huge for them. But I'll tell you a story. Not long after the 2011 Stanley Cup Final, which is the one Boston won over in Vancouver, I was at a golf tournament and a couple of Canucks were there. And, you know, I just asked them how they were doing. It was about 2 months after the final ended. And, you know, they were still struggling with it. I don't think that ever goes away. But we were talking a little bit about the series and about the Bruins. And, you know, I asked them what stood out. And both the players said that, or two of the players said that they didn't realize how good playing in the West Patrice Bergeron was. And I think Bergeron's a lot like that. I think he gets overshadowed. He plays on the same team with Chara. I think Lucic, and he's a Western boy too, gets a lot of the attention because in a lot of ways I think Lucic is the emotional leader of that hockey team. But I don't disagree with you. I thought that the fact that he was named to the 2010 Olympic team really helped that, but he didn't have a great tournament. I've seen him really improve a great deal. I have no doubt he'll be on the Sochi team. I see him a lot here, so I understand that argument, and I think there's a real legitimate case to be made for it. I just didn't think, though, Dean, that he was that great at the beginning for almost 6.5 games of that Boston-Toronto series. He was definitely below his own standard.
Well, and you know what? You would have watched it, obviously, closer than I would have, so I take your word on that. I just, here in the last week, I've seen a lot of Patrice Bergeron, and certainly you think of what he was able to do for Canada at the Olympics and what he did in the Cup run and what he's done to the Leafs and now, with a great pass, has done to the Rangers in the first game of this series. Did you get a chance to watch much of the World Hockey Championships in the Canadian entry?
I watched the game yesterday, yes, and I can't believe what happened to Eric Staal. I mean, I don't think Edler intended to hurt him, but boy, was that a reckless and stupid play. And Eric Staal is not a faker. He's not a diver. He's nothing like that. He plays an honest game, and to see him on the ice like that, that was awful. He was supposed to have an MRI in Sweden today, but from what I understand, the Hurricanes asked to have him flown home so they could do the testing. So I believe that is the plan. He's flying home today, and the Hurricanes will do an MRI with him tomorrow. I hope it's not as bad as it looked. The other thing that really stood out to me was, Dean, I guess Lindy Ruff won't be the next head coach of the Edmonton Oilers because, boy, he did not like Taylor Hall. Holy smokes, I couldn't believe the ice time.
Yeah, it's certainly, and we hear that out here, but, and maybe if Taylor Hall makes it to the Olympics, Lindy Ruff won't be on that squad either. Do you have any kind of a rationale as to why it went the way it did?
The only thing I could think of is I guess he just didn't know him. You know, but I will ask that. Now that they're home, I'm going to ask about that. And I know the Oilers, some of the Oilers brass was there. I'm going to ask them about that, too, because I am really curious about it. Lady Ruff, I believe, is going to be part of the coaching staff. I believe it's at the last Olympics, it was Babcock, Ruff, Hitchcock, and Jacques Lemaire. I believe with Lemaire retired, that Claude Julien is going to replace Lemaire on that staff. So I think that's what the plan is. So I'm expecting that Lindy Ruff will be part of the Canadian delegation. But I am going to ask around about that, Dean. Maybe ask me next week, because I was astonished. I'm a big Taylor Hall fan. I think that guy is a heck of a player. And I could not believe the ice time he got or didn't get, or power play time he didn't get in this tournament. To me, you know, and it's always easy to second guess when Canada loses and the coaching job that's done, but I'm just curious to know what the rationale was, because on its face, it didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody that sticks out in your mind? Because the world's, especially in the Olympic year, is kind of a jumping off point. Is there anybody specifically in whatever you watched at Limited or otherwise that really increased their stocks as far as a potential shot at Sochi?
Increase their shot? I think a lot of the guys that we were expecting, I think a lot of the guys there are guys we're expecting to be there. I think a couple of things stood out. One, who they invited late, Ham Hughes and Saban. I was very curious about that, because I think their right side is fine, but they're kind of looking at maybe one or two more left defensemen, and the fact that they invited Ham Hughes, that to me said that he's on their board. The fact that they invited Saban late when they already had eight defensemen there says to me that they wanted to see him, which I think is very interesting. The other one, too, is the goaltending situation right now for Canada is really questionable, and I'm curious to see what their evaluation is of Mike Smith, because I think Mike Smith is a guy who maybe wasn't on the radar 2 years ago, but got himself on it with the way he played last year, and I'm really curious to know what they thought. Because if they thought he was pretty good, then he's probably in the picture. So I think, to me, it's not guys who played themselves on or off the team, Dean. It's the guys that got invited late, and the fact that Smith got the big game, that said to me that these are guys they wanted to see on the big ice because they're in the conversation.
Have a great long weekend, buddy. I guess we will not talk to you on Monday. We'll work things out early next week.
All right, have a great long weekend. Enjoy, and don't drink too much, Dean. Too many beers, bad for your brain.
Well, and I start texting you when I get riled, when you're on the desk. Jeez.
That was funny. I was laughing about that.
The split tee. We're bringing props up there. You're taking flack from PJ Stock. Don't get me going. It's ridiculous.
No worries. I'm just glad today that you didn't bring up whether or not I was qualified as a prominent hockey analyst.
Yes. Yes. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Have a good long weekend.
Take care, Dino. Bye.
All right. Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night.